to really go into the actual content. First of all, many thanks for joining today after a good party last night. I was not hoping that I'll get to see many people, but I'm glad to see that we have a good audience here. And in fact, I sort of struggled last night whether I should go to the party or not. I had two choices. If I don't go, I'll feel bad. If I go, I'll feel guilty that I should be preparing for my presentation. I chose not to feel bad. So I went to the party last night, but I think we should be good with that. And in today's topic, we'll talk about SharePoint, and I'll cover the agenda in just a minute. Well, first of all, my name is Sajan Parihar. I work on the business planning team for SharePoint. And basically what we do is we work with different engineering teams to understand what we are building, and there's a whole lot that you'll see in this release of SharePoint. And then we work on feature tiering, like which feature should land where, and we work on a SKU plan. So those are things I'll talk about, and we finally also take care of the pricing for the product. So what I'll do is I've already got a lot of questions even before the session started. So what I'm going to do is, and for 75 minutes, the first 60 minutes I'll try to cover the content, and then towards the end, for 15 minutes, I'll take any questions you guys have. And we have numbered all the slides. On the bottom right side, you'll see the number of the slide. It would be great if you could just make note of the slide number, because in case if I have to go back, we can quickly go back and forth. But other than that, like when you have a question, please come to towards the end. You can use the mics that we have, and I'll be happy to address those. Okay, before we dive into details, it's a disclaimer which I need to put out because licensing can be tricky sometimes. This slide deck is not meant to be a legal or a contractual document. So I think that's the first thing I want you guys to be aware of. The only intention I had why I wanted to talk about this was because there is a lot of things in SharePoint, the different ways you can buy it, and I wanted to make it simple for everyone to understand what SharePoint is and how you can license it, how you can get it, and things like that. So this slide deck is up to date as of today, and we'll have that in the MySPC portal, so you don't really need to, you know, make notes down. We'll share the deck with you. Second thing is all the terms and conditions for our product, they're defined in our product use rights document, which is really a long document. And if you really want to dive into the legal details, that's the right content or the document you should be looking at. For your ease of reference, I've also included the links to those documents, so you can take a look at those. But as of today, on our product use rights document, you will see SharePoint 2010 details. That's the product we have in the market. But come early December, those documents will be updated with SharePoint 2013. But you can still have the links, and then you can take a look at product use rights. With that, now let me, I've satisfied my legal requirements, let me get it out of the way and look at the main content I'm going to talk about. Now, SharePoint, I think we talked at the keynote, it has got close to 300 sessions. And I'm assuming you've attended all of those. If you're done, you'll be a bit bored for the first few minutes. Because what I'm going to do is I thought that I'll first talk about SharePoint as a whole. Like, how should you think about SharePoint? There are so many things, like how should I even think about SharePoint as a product? Once we'll cover that, next thing we'll talk about is the licensing basics. Think about licensing 101. There'll be one slide, I'll talk about that. Then I'll talk about what are the different features that we have in SharePoint, both for on-premise as well as online. That's where the feature tiering will come in. Then we talk about different licensing scenarios. And then I'll talk about Office Web Apps. Then, okay, how the software assurance is going to work, like if you're on 2010 or 2007, what you'll get in 2013. And last but not the least, there are two topics I need to cover with regard to some acquisitions that we made. One is the legacy FAST product, what is happening to those. And second is there's another company we acquired, I think more than a year ago, called Prodyne. I'll talk about that, how that thing fits into SharePoint. So before we dive into actual content, can I just do a quick show of hands so I get a sense of the audience? How many folks here are IT professionals, like IT pro? Okay, there are a lot of them. Excellent. And how many folks are business decision makers, like you're focused more on business side? Thank you. And how many are developers? Okay, not a whole lot. And how many folks are using FAST today? Okay, excellent. So we'll talk about FAST for sure. And then towards the end, we'll have the Q&A. Okay, so first of all, what is SharePoint? SharePoint has a lot of things. But as the name suggests, the biggest thing we do is around sharing. So that's one of the biggest value pillar we have. And with the acquisition of Yammer, sharing will get only better with social and other things. You can do a whole lot with that. So that's the first value pillar. I'll think about it. So you can create content, you can share insights, you can share a whole lot of things. Second is, once you create content, what you can do with that? You need the capability to organize it, or you can call it enterprise content management. So you have the content, you now need to organize it. And there are a lot of features, there are a lot of capabilities that help you to do that. Third, once you have a lot of content, you have so many people in your company or your organization, you want to discover things. That's where search, BI, those things fit in. They help you to discover content, insights, and a lot of other things. And I'll talk about that in a minute. Next, you need to build. And the build pillar is changing a lot in SharePoint 2013. With our app marketplace and what we are doing with apps, there's a big shift, and there's a lot more things you can do with SharePoint 2013. And I'll be spending some time on that. And last but not the least, you need to manage your infrastructure. Now, if you deploy SharePoint in SharePoint Online, Microsoft takes care of the management piece because we then manage the infrastructure for you. On the other hand, if you deploy SharePoint on-premise, which I believe many folks today have it on-premise, you still benefit from the learnings we have from the cloud because it's the same set of bits that we're using to run SharePoint Online. Think of this as we will take a snapshot, we package them into a server, and we hand it over to them. So you are getting exposed to the same set of bits. The way we manage it, if we can run a big cloud, I would say one of the biggest public cloud for productivity in the world, you have the same infrastructure for your own organization. Now let's talk about sharing. So SharePoint has been about sharing for a long time now. And it's a place where you can share ideas, you can share content, you can share the vision of your company, you can have great internet portal, you have team sites. So anything you want to share, any content, SharePoint is the place for you to do that. And now with a social product like Yammer, you can do a whole lot with that. And as we mentioned in the keynote that Jeff had, that Yammer offers something even for free. And yes, there is a good product that you can get for free. I'll encourage you to at least sign up for that. You should try it out and get a sense of what you can do with Yammer. Next is how you want, the next pillar is to organize information. Now, in this release, we have taken a fresh approach to create content. And as you might have seen that, we now have a really gorgeous UI, and it's a lot more easy for you to create content. With a single click, you can share, you can control the permissions. But at the same time, as you create more and more assets, your digital assets into SharePoint, you need a good way of managing that content. And that is something that you can do even this release, but it gets better with the SharePoint 2013. And in this release, we have invested a lot into e-discovery and compliance. So, and that is something that works across both SharePoint and Exchange. So you should think about it. Yes, I can create my content, I can manage it, but I can also do e-discovery, compliance, and if you're from one of those industries where there's a big regulation, you need to do that, I'll encourage you to take a look at that. And that is where our Prodiance acquisition fits in, which I'll talk about that towards the end. It's primarily around e-discovery and compliance. Next is records management. So in case of SharePoint, you can do in-place holds, and that's something you can do even 2013. And that's something which gets better in 2013 for you. So e-discovery, compliance, that's one of the big investment areas that we had for this release. And there are a lot more, which I'll talk about that. And finally, you can also do knowledge management, and you can do reporting. So you can do reporting even on your different cases which you might have opened. Using a case manager, you can look at the different content. Also using your BI assets, you can do reporting. Like we have features like Excel services, we can put content in Excel, you can put it in SharePoint, you can access the whole thing through browser. That's what Excel services is. And there are other investment feature areas which I'll talk about in the BI and reporting space. Next is about discovery. So we talk about we can create content, we can share it, we can manage it, And next is, okay, what we can discover. Now you can discover experts, answers, connections, or any content. In this area, there is a big change we have made. As some folks raised their hand that they have been using FAST, which till date, we have a separate server product called FAST Search for SharePoint. In this release, we are baking the FAST search into SharePoint. And we are using FAST to power all the search experiences that we have in SharePoint product. Irrespective of which SKU you're on, at the back, you can think of this as everything is getting powered by FAST search, which will only will make your search a lot more better. And we also have a new feature called as community sites. Think of this as a discussion forum where you can find the experts, you can post a quick question, you can get quick answers from them, and all those things will come together. And we already had people search, and that's the same thing you'll have it even in this release. So you get best of the breed search with FAST. Like today, you need to buy a separate server, you need to create a separate infrastructure for that. That thing goes away. Second, with community site, it becomes you get a more social experience, and you also have the people search. Next is about build. Although I didn't see there are many folks who are developers here, but I think the apps model that we have in 2013, that is something I'll say everybody should take a look at that. Even if you are a business decision maker, you need to take a look at that, how that will help your business. The thing which I first like about this is probably you don't have to train your users on this. Because with mobile phones, everybody knows what apps are. At least the notion of apps is there. And you have to think about in a very similar manner that you can have different apps. Now, if you take a step back, what it means for an enterprise. Now, when we have SharePoint, a lot of times you have to create different custom applications. Let's take an example. All of us, we are traveling for a conference, and the fun thing we get to do after this is do expense reporting. You know, you have to do expense management. You have to fill your expense reports and all that. And in every company, in some form of shape, you'll have something, a UI or a website, where you go and enter your things for expense management. That's the perfect example. You can make an app out of that. You can put that into your own app store, and you can your users can use it. Likewise, you can think of, the way I would think of this, if I were in your place, anything, if I need to do any customization, I'll think about, why don't I create an app for this? And then, you know, I can provision it out to my users. And in this release, we'll be supporting a lot of the, I would say, industry standards, like the widely web standards that we have, like HTML5, JavaScript. Using those set of technologies, you can build apps. And the first question that I get when you talk about apps is, like, if there is something called App Store, I don't want all the users to go and run and buy all the apps. And at the end of the month, there are millions of dollars of bills which are coming in. But we did think about this, and there's a control built in. What you can do is, as an IT professional, if you're responsible for managing SharePoint, there is something called as corporate catalog. What that means is, business users can send their request to IT. IT can check the app. They can sideload it into a corporate catalog, and then your users can see only the apps, or they can install only those apps which are in the corporate catalog. So there is a control. I don't want you guys to feel worried about that, okay, what it will do to our software build, but I'll encourage you to take a look at that. Next is in SharePoint, this release with sites. You can create gorgeous websites, and you certainly can create good team sites. There are a lot of themes you can put, and our UI will really look great, as you might have seen in the demo we did with the keynote. And last but not least, like, this is a very pivotal release for us. This is a release that has been built for the cloud. So if you're on SharePoint Online, great. But if you're even on-premise, as I said before, this is a release that has been architected for scale, because the same release that we're using ourselves. So that's pretty much what I have in terms of SharePoint introduction. That's one way of thinking about what SharePoint is, what all we can do, how we can use apps, and we shouldn't worry about the management infrastructure because you are talking about a product that is running, you know, like a very big public cloud. Now let's talk about usage scenarios. Now SharePoint can be used for internet, it can be used for extranet, or it can be used to create internet sites, like a .com or a public-facing website. And we have made progress in all these three that we'll talk about. There are big changes in how we license extranet and internet sites, and that's an area where I'll spend more time on later on to at least clarify questions around that. What you'll see is, I saw on Twitter somebody wrote that SharePoint licensing requires 75 minutes to talk about. And the reason we are spending 75 minutes is to first educate people about what SharePoint is. And second thing is, I hope you'll walk away from this session thinking about how much we have simplified our licensing. And regard to deployment, again, you have both the scenarios. You can do on-premise or you can do in the cloud. Okay, now, how should we think about licensing SharePoint? If you want to purchase SharePoint, how should you think about it? First thing, you have to decide whether it's on-premise or online. Yes, we'd love you to use online, because in that case, you get whatever latest changes we'll have, they'll come very quickly there. And we'll also help you manage the infrastructure at the back, because we'll be responsible for that. So first pillar is, okay, is it on-premise or versus online? And then if you look at towards the bottom, we have, for on-premise, we have standalone. Then we have something called as CAL suite. CAL means client access license. Think of this as it is a paper-based license. There's nothing built into the product. It's a paper-based license, and you can license that either on the basis of per device or per user. Depending on whichever way works best for you, you have both the choices. And we have a similar structure even in the online world. We have the standalone SharePoint online plans, and then we have another suite. And typically in the suite, what you get is you get not only SharePoint, but you also get Exchange and Lync. In case of CAL suite, there are many other products like Windows Server CAL and a whole lot of other things. So if you're thinking of, you know, let's say your email is on Exchange, you want SharePoint, I'll encourage you should be looking at the CAL suite for on-premise. Likewise, when you look at online, you should be looking at our enterprise suite, which we call as Office 365 Enterprise Suite or the E-Suite, and there are different SKUs for that. So that's the basic structure we have. On-premise, online, either I want to buy it as a standalone product or as a suite, which has Lync and Exchange, and same thing holds true even for our online environment. Now, these are the basic SKUs I will have. For on-premise, you obviously need the server to do the deployment, but for the sake of simplicity, I left it out from the slide. Now, there are different tiers. First is, let's start from standalone. I'll go from left to right. This is where we are coming from. We had on-premise business, and that's where we are headed, to the online world. But you can think of that, basically, we still have a lot of symmetry how things get licensed, so it should be easier for you to get your heads wrapped around it. In case of standalone SKUs, the first thing we have is called as SharePoint Standard Client Access License, or in short, CAL. I'll start using the word CAL from now onwards. And it gives you access to the standard capabilities of SharePoint. And we'll talk about the features in just a minute. Let's first understand about what the packaging structure is. And if you want the enterprise capabilities, you have SharePoint Enterprise CAL. Likewise, if you want to buy a suite, if you want to just buy the standard capabilities of SharePoint, Exchange, Lync, I will go with Core CAL suite. So if you're buying Core CAL, what you're getting from SharePoint is the standard capabilities of SharePoint. On the other hand, if you purchase our Enterprise CAL suite, what you're getting is the enterprise capabilities of SharePoint. So that's a very simple structure. Likewise, the same thing holds true for online. The features that you get in SharePoint Standard, those are the ones that you get in SharePoint Online Plan 1. It's just a different naming terminology. We used to call it Standard and Enterprise, whereas here we're calling them Plan 1 and Plan 2. Okay, feature-wise, we may not be at 100% parity between on and on-premise, but that's the intention we have. We want to have feature parity across all the products. But in this list, I will say that we are close, we are more than 90%, maybe at 95% feature parity. So in any case, you'll get this. But if you think you are going to the cloud, then the benefit you get from these plans is if you buy this, you also get on-premise CAL rights. Let me say that again. If you purchase this online subscription, you can decide to provision your users in the cloud, or if you want to do a hybrid deployment, you get rights to on-premise CALs. So that's a really big benefit you get with the online service. And likewise, if you want to purchase a suite, we have the suite called E-Enterprise Suite, and you have four SKUs, E1, E2, E3, E4. Now, as far as SharePoint is concerned, Whether you purchase E1 or E2, you are still getting Plan 1. There is some other difference between E1 and E2, you know, for different products like web apps and other things. But as far as SharePoint is concerned, whether you purchase E1 or E2, you are getting rights to SharePoint Online Plan 1. And again, think of that as the standard capabilities of SharePoint. If you purchase either E3 or E4, it gives you access to SharePoint Online Plan 2, which basically is like the enterprise capabilities of SharePoint. So that's a very simple structure we have. Like, if you really want to think about what should I buy for SharePoint, this is a slide you should be looking at. Like, these are SKUs. Only addition here is, if you decide to go on-premise, you need to purchase server separately because you need to deploy it on a server infrastructure. Other than this, this is a way we will license it. And I will also add one more point is about, there is a small footnote here about Yammer. As Jeff Tipper announced that in next release, in coming months, we'll start to roll out our next SharePoint 2013 in the cloud, like with SharePoint Online Plan 1. And our plan is that at the price that we have right now, which you can look up on Office 365, we'll offer you even Yammer Enterprise as part of that. So if you're looking to try, you don't have to then really worry about, you know, how Yammer will come with SharePoint, what impact, if any, it will have on my pricing, because our goal is to bring it together. And that's what we are doing right from off the gate. Okay, now we understand about the licensing part. And next thing is, what are the different SKUs SharePoint has? Let me start on the top left. These SKUs that are dotted in red dots, these are the server products that we have in the market today. And we are doing a lot of consolidation. And if you think about the first thing which we have is the highlight that I called out here is, we are consolidating fast search into SharePoint. So as of today, if you want to deploy fast search, you need to first step up to enterprise scale. Then you need to buy fast search for SharePoint separately. Generally, it takes your SharePoint server will crawl the content, fast will index it, so those two work together. What we are doing in this release is we are consolidating fast into SharePoint, so you don't need a separate server product for that. Second thing what we did is, today if you want to build an internet site, you need to decide whether you want to buy SharePoint for internet sites, in short, FIS, standard, or the enterprise server product. So we have two server products today for internet sites. And one thing which I learned our last, I would say, 2 years was, many times customers, they had, you know, there were some challenges with that. In a sense that the moment you wanted to integrate, move data from your intranet to your internet site, if you're doing it automatically, there's something called as multiplexing. It's a licensing rule we have, which kicks in, which means that you now need to double up your internet site licenses, that all the intranet servers need to have internet sites. So we are doing away with all those things so you don't have to think a whole lot. All you need to do is if you want to deploy SharePoint server for either intranet or extranet or internet sites, you just need SharePoint Server 2013. You don't need a separate SharePoint for internet site server product. We have only one server product to sell as far as SharePoint is concerned. Excellent. Thank you. And next thing is that not only, and you'll hear like something, okay, that, you know, there must be some game plan Microsoft has, you know, you'll be making money somewhere. Let me be very upfront about it. We are not really gaining money from this whole transition. Our main intent is we want to make it simple for people as far as compliance is concerned. We want it to make it very easy for folks to think about that SharePoint is a product that I can use it for intranet, extranet, or internet sites without really worrying about the licensing magic around it. Third thing is, your internet sites all of a sudden become very inexpensive. And I'm not going to quote any price points because I'm not supposed to do that because prices vary across currency, which type of agreement you have, there are a whole lot of things. But to drive home the point, the cost point, let me use the ballpark numbers. Today, a SharePoint for internet sites enterprise product costs about $55,000 per server, give and take. Whereas a SharePoint server will be, you know, sub $1,000, $10,000. So if you're creating an internet site that requires, you know, maybe 6 servers, you're talking about $300,000 spent today. Whereas with this new licensing paradigm, the same internet site, if you need 6 servers, multiplied by, let's say, 10,000, we're talking only about $60,000 in software costs. I would rather use those cost savings to make my sites even better. If you think that there is something which is SharePoint is not doing out-of-box for internet site, you've got a lot of software costs that you'll spare through this. So I would say if you are using SharePoint for internet, I'll encourage you to look at why not your internet site should be on that, or your extranet for that matter. So that's a big change that we're making here. So these queues will go away. And we also have a standalone search product called a search server, which we are discontinuing in this release. But we have a transition plan that we'll talk about towards the end. So we are taking these things out, and there are some other SKUs which we are going to introduce. So the part in the middle, I already talked about the standard CAL, plan one, plan two, and all that. This audit and control management server is what we are getting through our Prodyne's acquisition. And again, we will not create a new CAL for it. If you have a SharePoint Enterprise CAL, okay, you are covered. For your deployment, you will need this server. And ballpark, it will be priced at maybe 50% off SharePoint server. So it won't be an expensive server product. It's not like FastSearch, which is, I think, maybe about $25,000 or $30,000 today. And Azure App Hosting will be another one. I just want to give you a heads up. This is one SKU which I still need to lock on, and we have some time. But the way we are thinking about it, if you have apps and you want to, let's say, create your own custom apps, you want to host them in Azure, we'll try to make it more seamless for you, and we'll try to have a SKU. The details are still work in the progress. That's the only one which is outstanding. And next thing we have is called Duet Enterprise Hosting for SAP. Now, what is Duet Enterprise for SharePoint and SAP? It's a joint product that is built by SharePoint and SAP. So if you have SAP in your organization, you want to expose the data out through SharePoint, you can use Duet Enterprise for that. And this is different from Duet we had for Office Client, I think, a few years back. This is made specifically for SharePoint. And think of this, it takes out the headache of, you know, user control, authentication, all that stuff. It's already baked into the product. So if you're using SAP, this is a very easy way for you to expose all the data in SharePoint. And if you want to provision the same Duet Enterprise in cloud, we'll have an offering for that. But you need to purchase licenses from SAP. So only SAP is going to sell Duet Enterprise licenses. But if you want to provision in the cloud, we'll have the infrastructure, and there'll be a hosting SKU for that. And next change we have done is around extranet licensing. Like today, when you want to deploy extranet, you can either buy those expensive our Fizz server products, or you can have to buy CALs for external users. And the big change we are making here is that starting this release, you don't need to buy CALs for your external users. Thank you. So if you are using SharePoint, which I would say majority of Fortune 500 companies or customers are using SharePoint, what we figured was that you don't really know how many people are creating projects. They want to collaborate with external people. Okay, how do you get your heads around, you know, what your requirement is around the CALs and all that? So as long as your internal users have CALs, they can collaborate with, you know, thousands of people outside. You don't need to buy any CALs for that. So the extended scenario should be no-brainer. If you're using SharePoint for your collaboration, extranet is right there. Tell your users they can go ahead and use it. For on-premise, there is no limit on number of external users because you'll have your own servers. You know, you can do what you like to do with that. For online, for eSQ, we have a large limit. We'll give you up to 10,000 external user licenses for free. So we'll call them as guest users. So as long as you are below 10,000 in external users, that comes with Office 365 plan, whether it's E1, E2, E3, E4. So again, there's no reason for you to not to expand your intranets out to extranet, because with this, the whole licensing barrier is gone. So those are the highlights around licensing. Next is on the features. Okay, SharePoint has literally hundreds of features, which is not hard to imagine. If you need 300 sessions to talk about SharePoint, you can imagine, you know, there are thousands of features at the back. What I'm going to do is I'll talk about at a high level, maybe at 30,000 feet. I'll bring you to 20,000 in the slide second, then maybe to 10,000, then I'm going to leave you. So find your own parachutes after that. So I'll still bring you down to 10,000. So you'll get good sense of what features we are coming up with. But if I have to call out the big, really new features, there are a lot of features which got better in 2013, but they are really net new features around e-discovery, audit control management. There's a Power View for BI. And we also have, as I said, App Catalog Marketplace. We have new features around work management. We have a new community site. We have a new way of external sharing. And we have a new workflow engine called SharePoint 2013 Workflow. It's a totally new engine, again, architected for scale. If you're using it in the cloud, at the back, we power it through Azure. So these are the high features, like, you know, the new features. Now let's talk about at 30,000 feet, or maybe at 25,000, what features we have. Again, before diving into the features, let's think about how should, again, you know, how should think about it. What I tried to do was call out the different feature sets. You have a bunch of features around apps. You have something around collaboration, search, content management, BI, and business solutions. As long as you can get this slide, you can remember this, you know, you'll get a gist of what SharePoint offers you. And I'm going to spend a fair bit of time on this. Now, first thing you have is app catalog and marketplace. If some of these features don't make sense, don't worry. The next slide we'll talk about what this feature, what subset of features we have in these capabilities. On this slide, let's focus on this capability is present where. Which SKU will give me this? And this matrix is like a simple matrix that will give you a sense of that you'll pretty much get everything with your enterprise or the plan to, and how the differentiation is going to work. So app catalog is something, or apps is something that will work in all the SKUs except SharePoint Foundation. SharePoint Foundation is a free SKU, which we don't really envision people running production scale things on that. You can use that like an extended trial. But other than that, like SharePoint apps will be in all the SKUs that we have. Team sites, they are everywhere. Work management, it starts at our standard level, or in case of online, it starts at plan one. Now, there is something called as P. And P is not P1 or plan one. Okay, I think we can probably find a better name. But plan P is basically for small businesses. If you have only 20 users, your company is only 20 users, or you know maybe 25, that's where we talk about the plan P. But for most of the folks here, I would think that plan one or plan two is what you should be looking at. And again, as I said before, think about broadly. Plan one, in general, will align with standard. Plan two aligns with broadly with our enterprise scale for on-premise. Next is external sharing. And we have made a, you can create extranets on-premise, but we also support something called share by email for online. That's a feature I wanted to call out, because your sharing will be a lot more easier with your online offer, because we can manage a lot of things at the back. Now, search, I'll talk about the features on the next slide. Again, you have a basic search that is in all the products that we have. You have standard search. As our name suggests, standard search will start at standard cal for on-premise, or it will start at plan one for online. So you'll get both standard search in standard cal or in plan one. In order to get enterprise search, you'll need the enterprise plan, which is like enterprise cal for on-premise or plan two for online. Next is content management and records management. Again, they start at the standard level. Anything that is in standard, obviously you'll have that if you go to enterprise. So that's how I'll think about that. So both these capabilities, even today, they reside in standard cal, and there's no change here. For e-discovery, ACM, like audit and control management, these are our enterprise capabilities, and they will be on either the enterprise cal or plan two. Only caveat here is ACM, because it's just a new acquisition we made, right after, once we release the product, we'll have only for on-premise. So that's what I was saying, you know, there'll be some disparity. But if you really want the ProDiance or ACM capabilities, we'll have them only for on-premise. On BI, again, BI is something which is, even today, is an enterprise scale for on-premise and plan two for online. Nothing is changing there. They stay in the same tiers. Only difference here is that today we have the scorecards and dashboards. Once we release online, we will not have them right, you know, at the release, but we'll still have them for on-premise. So those are the only two areas where I think I wanted to call out, where you'll have some, not perfect alignment between our on-premise and online. But other than that, 95% of features, they are at feature parity. And lastly, we have a pillar around business solutions. Now, you can build business solutions using InfoPath forms, you can use using Access services, and all those things for on-premise, they are in enterprise. Whereas for online access services, primarily because of apps, we made it available in all the SKUs, like P, Plan 1, and Plan 2. There's a one SKU which I left out here is the kiosk. And let me see what a kiosk is. Kiosk is a user which is primarily meant for deskless workers. When I mean deskless, I literally mean deskless. Think of somebody who's working on a manufacturing floor. Those guys, they don't typically create documents. They are not really information workers. They have to just check something once in a while. You know, they can check maybe the corporate communication or things around that. For those scenarios, we have created a SKU called Kiosk, so which is obviously like cheaper than our plan one, plan two. It's meant for those subset of users only. You can think of that many customers use this in a retail environment. Like you have all the guys, you know, who are on the floor working, you know, on the cash registers. They are the example of a kiosk worker. And as I said, like the manufacturing floor worker. And I have listed out the features that you'll get. But basically, you are getting a team site, and you'll get some apps that you can use there. And you'll have some search capabilities for them. That's what a kiosk is. Now, coming back to this, we'll also have visual services. Again, 2 days in enterprise, no change. And we'll have that in your plan one, plan two in our online. Form-based applications, think of InfoPath forms. We'll have that. And SharePoint 2013 workflow, this is something either you have a standard CAL or plan one, plan two, you'll get the best of breed workflow that we have, which we have named as SharePoint 2013 workflow. There's a big change around business connectivity services. Now, today for on-premise, we have a lot of features around business connectivity services. Now, what is BCS? Basically, you can use, it's a set of capabilities you can use to connect SharePoint to your line of business system. If you want to connect SharePoint to an ERP system or some external system, you can use BCS for that. So you need to have a single sign-on, and you need to have, you know, different capabilities to pull data from those systems, or you even write back to that system. For on-premise, it was a bit, I would say, fragmented. We had it for a namesake, in, let's say, in Foundation, but you didn't have single sign-on. So really, today, you need at least, you know, standard CAL, and in some cases, to use the web parts, you need enterprise. To make it simple, and we recognize that most of the folks who have an ERP system, they typically end up being on our enterprise SKU. Because if really you are a big enterprise, you have ERP system, you'll end up using enterprise capabilities because you'll need BI, you need forms, you need a big best of breed search. So what you're doing here is we have consolidated the whole thing into our plan two for online. So if you're on SharePoint Online, you want to connect to an external system, you need BCS for that, you need to be on plan two. So this is what our 30,000, 25,000 feet view is. Now let me come down to maybe 10,000. Now, on this slide, I will not talk about, you know, all the SKUs. I'll just dive more into the features so you get a sense of what these features are, what these capabilities are, and what features they bring. Let's start with the first one. App catalog, you'll have a marketplace, and you'll also have a corporate catalog where IT can control which apps they want their users to download. So you have that control. You can filter it. And if really it's a big app, you want to do a custom deal with an ISV, you can go and do it off the marketplace. We don't stop you from doing that. You can have a really custom pricing or custom deal with an ISV, and then you can provision an app on your own corporate catalog for your on-premise environment. Next is theme sites. You have a drag and drop, which Jeff Tepper showed in his keynote. You will have that capability. And pretty much all the capabilities that we have today. Sorry? Okay. All right, let me see. Okay, let me call somebody from the back there. Okay, I'll keep going it. If you can help me with the Zoom right at the back, that'll be great. So I'll keep, in the interest of time, I'll keep going with this. So you have team sites. It's again the same team site that you have today. And you can get drag and drop. You get a notebook. Like you can even create a OneNote notebook from there. And you'll get very simplified access. Like you can share very quickly. Next is external sharing, which I said is shared by email. Work management is about project site. You have a My Task. You have a site mailbox. And the main feature I would say here is like even if you're working on different projects, we can pull all the tasks into one site for you. Social is the area we have invested a lot. You can think of social as a personal site where you get a news feed. You get, you know, you can follow content. You can even follow people. Like you can follow a document. When a document is changed, you get an alert automatically. And we also get something called SkyDrive Pro, which basically means that you can take documents from a site and you can take them off on your machine so you can have a copy on your machine. So you're traveling, you'll always have a documents on your site. You can sync them back and forth. That's what SkyDrive Pro is. And then on a social, there's a personal aspect to it, which I talked about. And next thing is a community site, which again gives you discussions, moderation, reputation, and all those features that come there. Basic search, as the name suggests, it's a basic search. You just get a site collection search. In case of standard search, and let me talk, I will spend a bit of time on the standard enterprise search because that's where the fast angle plays out. You can do people search, you can do expertise search in standard search, and you can get visual previews. Like today, if you want to do a search on a SharePoint, and if you want to see in-browser previews, like we showed in the keynote, you need fast search today for that, and you need enterprise CAL. In this list, we'll have visual previews right in standard CAL. So even if you're on a standard tier, you'll get visual previews there. And also, you'll get visual best bets, which today are in enterprise only. But again, since we're baking the engine into the fast engine into SharePoint, we'll offer both these into standard search. And then we'll have some out-of-the-box recommendations. So all these things you'll get into a standard search. So that begs the question that, so like, what is an enterprise search? Or when should I need enterprise search? Now, if you want to do something, I would say the biggest differentiation between enterprise and standard searches, the way I would think about that is, if you need just out-of-box features, standard search is great. But if you want to do extensibility, you want to create search-powered apps, you will need enterprise search. So extensibility is a big differentiation that we have. And that's why we have, you know, features called common custom query rules. You can have item-based recommendations. There is, you know, content by search web part. All those things, like, as far as extensibility is concerned, you should be looking at enterprise search. And there's also a feature called entity extraction, which is a really unique feature because it goes down at the document level. It looks at things about, you know, let's say you have a document which has got different company names, it has got country names, all those things, they are entities. And automatically, once you search, if you're an enterprise, we will look at those entities, and we can create different search navigators around that. So if you want really all those features, you need to be on enterprise search. Next is on content management. Again, you have enterprise content management, you have document sets, and we have features called as Word and PowerPoint automation services. And you also have translation services. All these features, they are at standard CAL level or at plan one. For translation services, I need to call out just one slight nuance. Because you need an external service to really process all the translation. Let's say if you're using Bing Translator, SharePoint has some tooling built in into the product to make it easy for you. And then Bing Translation also has some, I believe, up to 2 million words they give you up to for free. So you can go and start with that. We support both human translation. You can translate yourself, put it there. Or you can do machine translation using a product like, let's say, Bing Translation. And as far as SharePoint is concerned, you will need only a standard capability for that. Records management, there's no change. We'll have in-place holds. E-discovery compliance, the entry point, the feature which is an entry point is called as case manager. You can imagine that, you know, there's a portal. You go there, you search for some words. You'll find the content. And then you from there, you can start to do e-discovery. You can do compliance across SharePoint and Exchange. In case of BI, I've split them into two rows. The first row is around Excel services, Power Pivot. Both these features, they exist today, and Power View, which is really a new feature that we'll have in this release for SharePoint. And all these features, they require either Enterprise or Plan 2. The next line here is about scorecards and dashboards. This is only for on-premise. What you get here is performance point services. You get a decomposition tree, and you can have balanced scorecards. And rest of features, I'm going to skip those because I don't have a subset of features for those. Only thing I'll call out here is about business connectivity services. And I've called out the differentiation. If you really want to do it on-premise, you can understand from here what you get with the standard CAL versus enterprise CAL. For online, it's simple. You get in plan 2, and that's where you will have all the features for this. And there are some add-ons, like external users. As I talked in the beginning, for on-premise, you don't need a CAL anymore for external users. For online, if you are a small business, like if you've got 20 users or something, we'll still give you up to 500 free external users. So we should be sufficient, you know, good enough to cover all the external users you might have. For any of those who are plan one, plan two, we'll give you up to 10,000 external users for free. And beyond that, you can buy, you know, it will be like, there will be a pack of, I think, 50 or so. But I think 10,000 will be pretty much sufficient for close to more than 90% of our customers. And then we are working on this Azure Provision app. Generally, okay, this is one area which I said before, we are still working on it, but I wanted to give you a sense of that, yes, we are working on this. We want to make it easier for our customers, our partners to host apps in Azure, and we'll work this model out. And you can certainly buy additional storage as an add-on. And today, I believe it's priced at 20 cents per GB. And what you get right with the plan, be it plan one or even E2, you get 10 GB at a tenant level. And then you get 500 MB per user for each subscription that you have. Like each plan one or plan two that you have adds another 500 MB of storage to your base. Only thing here is that external users or kiosk users don't add additional storage to the pool. They take storage from the pool. Again, kiosk workers, we don't foresee they will create a lot of contents, so you don't really need to create a lot of storage because you'll be creating the content as a plan one or plan two user, and they will only consume it. So that's the logic behind it, why we didn't add any storage there. And user limit-wise, I mean, okay, we can scale up to, you know, hundreds of thousands of users. Like, so really, it's up to you how much you can scale, and we should be able to support that. And this is slide 15. If you've got more questions around this, okay, we'll talk towards the end, and I'll just move on here. Now, let's talk about internet sites. The interesting thing that I experienced with internet sites was once we simplified the SKU structure, and when I talked to some subset of customers when you talked, the first question they thought, you know, okay, are we walking away from internet sites? And that couldn't be far from the truth. Okay, I want you guys to think about this. We are making a change only in the SKU and pricing for internet sites. Other than that, we are there, we're investing into internet sites, and it's only getting better in this release. Only change we are making there is to lower the TCO for you for internet sites in a drastic way. As I said, from a 300K example, I went down all the way to 60K. So it should be cheap and very cost effective for you. And second thing we are doing there is just to add more features. But if you really want to create an internet site, there's a big differentiation between our online and on-premise offering. If you are creating an internet site, I'll think of that, I'll use the on-premise product. Yes, if you want to put it in the cloud, you can put it into Azure. As long as you have a software assurance on your SharePoint Server 2013, you can deploy that into Azure or a public cloud, which is something we call it license mobility. That's a benefit you get with software assurance. So once you have that, you have a low price SKU now, it's the same SharePoint Server. You have all the capabilities in-house because if you have been using SharePoint, you have the right devs, you have the right IT pro, you can build your internet sites on this. I will not cover the lightweight public website, which you get for as part of your P or eSKU, but there are a lot of features that we'll get in the eSKU which are focused on your internet site. First thing is, let me talk about domains. Today, if you get the FIZ standard SKU, you're limited to one domain or subdomains, and you really need to buy that $55,000 SKU to go to multiple domains. In this release, just with the SharePoint Server, there's no restriction of domains. Just buy that SharePoint Server, and you can create as many domains as you like. So we have taken that restriction off this. Second, we have made a lot of investment around making it easy for you to do web publishing. You can create topic pages. You can do web publishing. You can even do enterprise content management. And in this release, you can think of video as a first-class citizen. We have invested a lot in the video content type. So that's something which we'll handle very well. We also have new features around product catalog that you can use if you're creating, you know, a e-commerce or you're doing something, you know, like you want to create different catalogs, you can do that. And we also have an IT Pro feature, which I felt is very good, is about cross-site publishing. Now, what cross-site publishing means is, let's say today you create something on maybe one of your environments, and you have a list, let's say a product list, and you are exposing that out into a website. Many times, you also have a different site where your designers work, and you have to either copy or you have to move content across different domains, across different sites. What we do it in this release is we'll support the cross-site publishing. You make a change in one site, you can publish it across different sites. That should drive a lot of productivity benefit for you. It will make it easy for you to run that. And then, as I said, we have a lot of investments around social. You can create discussion forums. You can, you know, create communities around that. You can do moderation, reputation. There are a whole lot of social features that you can use in SharePoint 2013 on your public website. And finally, the distinction that we had for search, we don't really have a distinction here. As long as you have a SharePoint server, only thing is that the SharePoint server will have two license keys. One is the standard license key to enable the standard features, and you have the enterprise license key to enable enterprise features. if you're deploying SharePoint server for internet site, I'll straightaway use enterprise key. Because we are giving you rights to use for internet sites, there's nothing called CALS. For public sites, there's only a server. And we are giving you the rights to use all the enterprise features that we have in the product on the internet site. So just pay for a SharePoint server and just use your enterprise key and you should be up and going from there. So that's a big change that we made. And also we'll be supporting things around, you know, the mobile devices, and you can have different channels for mobile, tablet, and all you'll have. We'll also support language translation, which I talked about earlier. And we have a feature called around variation. And then you can do things like, you know, custom design. You also have a BCS, so you can connect your public website all the way to your ERP system. And then you can also have, you also have multiple domains. So to net it out, if you want to build your internet site, you get all the enterprise features with SharePoint Server. You can choose to deploy on-premise. Or if you have software assurance with license mobility, you can just take it straight to your cloud, let's say to Azure. And all you need to do is just use the enterprise key. And you'll have access to all the features. So with this, I have covered, this is my 10,000 feet. Okay, from here, I won't dive more into features. Now we need to switch gears here. And I'll talk about the different licensing scenarios. This is just a summary of what I talked about for extranet and internet sites. On the left side, this current 2010 means, you know, the SharePoint 2010 release, which is current in the market today. And the new is like the 2013, which will come out next month. That should be up on our product list. Today, if you want to license extranet, for, especially for your internet scenario, where most of the customers are today, you have two models. Either you have to buy SharePoint Server and CALS, both for internal and external users, or you have to buy one of these SKUs. In our new release, we are making it very simple. You don't need to buy anything additional for external users, as I said before. So it's a very straightforward licensing mechanism. Likewise for internet sites, instead of having these two SKUs, all you need is just a SharePoint server. It's the same SharePoint server that you use for intranet. If you really want to host them in the same form, which I think from security reasons, maybe you won't like to do it because ideally you want to have these two things in a different form. But if you want to consolidate, if there are different scenarios where you want to consolidate your internet site with your intranet, you can do that right using SharePoint server. So only thing I would like to highlight here is the external users. What I mean by external users, this is the definition I took from our product use sites. So external users means users that are neither your or your affiliates employees, or your affiliates on-site contractors or on-site agents. I mean, this is the definition that you have to look at. As long as your external users fit into this definition, which by and large I would say, if somebody you're really doing external collaboration, they should fit into this. And you don't need anything for that. Last point on this slide is about Windows Server and SQL Server. We are not making any change to licensing prerequisites. So yeah, you still need SQL Server. Like if you want to use Power Pivot or advanced SQL capabilities, you will still need the enterprise version of SQL. Or, you know, now we have a BI SKU there as well. So there's no change there. The other point is, which I think one gentleman asked me before this session was, that what is happening to external connector for SharePoint? Okay, I don't know, I have got this question a few times. I won't just address this. There's nothing called external connector for SharePoint today. Yes, Windows Server has external connector. As of now, in SharePoint 2010 release, we don't have something called external connector. Maybe sometimes people think that the SharePoint for internet sites is what is maybe external connector. Probably that's what it is, but there's nothing called external connector for SharePoint. Today, you need the SharePoint for internet sites for external sites. So that is something, there is nothing for us to change there. Now, if I have to pull all the licensing, this is the last slide that I have on licensing. If you really want to understand what is changing between 2010 and 2013, let me first address cloud. Our licensing doesn't change for the cloud. Even today, we have plan one, plan two. The same things will stay there for 2013 release. And we have the same, pretty much the same enterprise suite, like E1, E2, E3, E4. Most of the changes that we're making licensing in this list is around on-premise. And I have tried to capture all the permutation combinations you can think of on one slide. So let's spend a few minutes on this so we can just cover this. The table on the top talks about 2010. Table below is for 2013. Again, the same thing I talk about. There are three ways you can use SharePoint for intranet, extranet, internet sites. And you have a dimension around, you can pivot off the type of user. So this is how we license it today, and this is how you'll get in the next release. These are the same points which I explained before, so I won't dive more into this. But if you want to just take a summary back to your company once you go back and you want to talk to somebody, okay, what is changing in SharePoint licensing? This is one slide, have it with you, and you would know what has changed in SharePoint licensing. And you can assume that we are not changing anything around online. Okay, now we have covered this, and we have 20 more minutes. I'll spend next 5 minutes or so on Office Web Apps and a couple of things, and then we'll take questions for last maybe 10 minutes. So what is Office Web Apps? You think about Office Web Apps, they are like companion to Office Client. And first thing is that Office Web Apps are licensed through Office Client. Many people think that we license that through SharePoint. That's not the case. Yes, we work together. One of the main scenarios to use Office Web Apps is through SharePoint, but the licensing is governed by Office Client. And you can use Office Web Apps to really access, be it Excel, PowerPoint, Word, and all into the browser. That's what an Office Web Apps is. Today, if you want to deploy Office Web Apps, you've got two ways. For online, you need one of the SKUs which has got Office Web Apps. We take care of deployment, obviously. For on-premise, today, you have to download a server bits, which is like a free download for the server. Then you have to install that either on SharePoint Foundation or a SharePoint server. The whole thing will change in 2013. You'll have, for on-premise, you'll still have Office Web Apps, but you don't really need to put it on top of SharePoint server. You can have it standalone, so you don't really need to, you know, copy it across different servers on a farm. So that's the architectural change we're making. But product-wise, it's a product that we have now, you know, it's only getting better with next release. And there are three ways you can get this. For our consumer cloud, it is publicly available to anybody who has a Live ID. You know, for your home usage, if you've got some personal things, you can use Live ID, SkyDrive, and Office Web Apps is offered for free. For a public cloud, which is Office 365, you have to look at the subscription. And like E2, E3, E4, they already have this built into this. If you have standalone, you probably have to get an add-on. So you can look at the subscription. For on-premise, you will need a server download. The server download will be free. And I'll talk in a minute how you'll get the view versus edit rights. And what are the, why do you need Office Web Apps? You can extend the productivity to different form factors across different browsers. You can use it for that. One of the main, I would say, investment areas for us is to make sure that we offer high fidelity. Like the document should look the same no matter where you are or which browser or platform you're on. That's one of the key, I would say, value pillar for us. And second, you don't have to worry about that if three guys are working at the same time on the document, things will get messed up. You don't have to worry about that. That's something that's already taken care of in the product. Now, as a business decision maker on IT Pro, if you think about what are the different scenarios when people might use Office Web Apps, because there's a lot more you can do with the client, but if you want to do light editing, that's where I would think you'll use it. And these are the common scenarios we could think of, like if you're a mobile user, you're traveling, you just need to make some minor changes to a document, and you can easily go to the browser, you can make the change. Desktop workers, again, if they just want to view documents, they can use Office Web Apps. They just come to the SharePoint site. With Office Web Apps, they can see the documents right in the browser. Third is for students at home. Like students, they typically collaborate. They are traveling to school, back home, collaborating with different people. Again, for light editing, they can use it there. So how does licensing works? As I said, for cloud, Office 365, you have to look at the SKU. But there are changes we are making here for on-premise again. Now, today, what we do is the, okay, let me talk in one line. How Office Web Apps is licensed today? View is free, so no worries there. For edit, for internal users, you need Office Client. And today, if you want to provide edit to external users, you need to buy Office Client even for those external users. Given that the changes we are making for SharePoint as a whole, we're making it seamless for extranet and internet sites, we felt it makes sense for us to do away with that requirement. So let me talk about that. First is for, if you have internal users, there's pretty much no change here. View is free. If all you want to do is just view documents, it's free. Get the free download, server download, install Office Web Apps server that you have, and viewing is free. If you want to edit, as long as your internal users have either Office 2013 Standard or Professional Plus, they will have the rights to edit a web apps document right in the browser. The big change we are making is around external users. Again, the same definition of external users applies to this scenario as well. Viewing is free, and we are going to make even editing free for external users. So as long as your internal users are covered with Office Client, they can collaborate with external users. You don't need SharePoint cals. You don't even need Office client license for them, in order for them to come to your site and do editing right in the browser. So that's a change we are making on Office web apps licensing. So now let's switch gears here and talk about in the last few minutes about SA migration. This thing was simpler for me because we have now really one server, excluding ACM, which is like just a specialty server. We have only one server now. So whichever server you are on, as long as you have software assurance, you'll be getting SharePoint Server 2013. Only additional thing we'll do is for search server, because as you know that the whole licensing of SharePoint is built around server plus Cal, at least for on-premise, and on a per-user basis for our online subscription. Search server is a product which today has only a server. There's nothing called Cal. So we felt that we need to give out some Cal, and we'll be giving out 100 SharePoint Cals for each search server that the customer has today. So that's how our SA migration is going to work. Now, let me talk about what happens with legacy Fast, because I think there are many folks here from Fast. If you have Fast Search for SharePoint, which is a volume licensing product, please take note here that you'll be getting SharePoint Server 2013. But if you are on the legacy Fast, like when we acquired the company, Fast had a product called as ESP, like Enterprise Search Platform. And the last release, we came out with a product called as FSIA and FSIS, which is right here. FSIS and FSIA, it's like Fast Search for Internet Sites and Fast Search for Internal Applications. And Fast had something called as maintenance, which is equivalent to software assurance, not exactly the same, but it's equivalent to that. So what we felt is that we need to create a path how legacy Fast customers can join us onto the main product, which is SharePoint Server 2013. So we'll be issuing out some grants, and there's an eligibility criteria. Main thing is that as long as you are active on your Fast maintenance as of July 2nd, and you own perpetual licenses, we'll be giving you grants to SharePoint Server 2013 licenses. And the details of those grants will be communicated to you sometime this month or max by early December. In fact, we are just announcing it today, and sometime this week we'll start sending out all the grant letters. So once you get that, it's not mandatory for you to do a migration. Like, we are giving a right to you. We'll give you licenses. It's up to you to decide when you feel comfortable to migrate over to SharePoint Server 2013. But at least from licensing standpoint, we'll give you rights to enterprise search capabilities of SharePoint. Because Fast is primarily a search product, so okay, you should not think that I'll be getting the whole SharePoint for free. That's not the case. What we'll give you is rights to the search workload of SharePoint Server 2013. That's all I have about the license grants program. And then the last slide I have is about audit and control management server. Now, this is a product, as I said right in the beginning, it came through an acquisition, there was a company called Prodynes. We acquired them. They were doing a great job in discovery, e-discovery, and risk assessment. We pulled that in. There'll be some features of Prodynes which will light up in Office Client, and you will need Office Client license for that. But there are some server-based features that Prodynes has, and I called out the two main features that I could think of. One is you can automate discovery and risk assessment for business-critical spreadsheets or Excel databases. Think about an enterprise. Their Excel spreadsheets spread out on different file shares. They're on different PCs, and you don't know where the critical data is, let's say social security number or things like that. Prodynes can look around your network, and we can identify where those files are. And you can also automate auditing and permission control. So those are the features we'll get. And this server, we won't be releasing it next month. We'll be releasing it sometime in first half of calendar year 2013. But I still wanted to give you a heads up that, yes, this is going to come. From licensing standpoint, as long as you have SharePoint Enterprise Cal, again, you don't need any Cals for this, because this product is only on-premise. And we'll license it through SharePoint Enterprise Cal. For deployment, we'll be coming out with this ACM server early next year. Pricing-wise, what we're thinking right now is we'll be pricing it somewhere maybe at a 50% of SharePoint server price that we have. So that's pretty much it. And on the server side, as you might think now, it's SharePoint server. When you look at SharePoint server, there's a lot of power that we're packing in there. Fast Search is going in there. We are doing away with external user licensing. It's the same server you can use for internet sites. There is an advanced workflow that we're going to offer there. So there is a whole lot that you'll be getting into SharePoint Server. With that, I'm at the end, and we still have 10 minutes, so I'll be happy to take any questions you might have. Thank you. Yes, sir.
I think the connector question a lot of times comes in with SharePoint Foundation. And if I wanted to expose SharePoint Foundation to as an extranet to customers, we still need the Windows Internet connector for that.
Yeah, that's only for Windows Server.
Okay. And then on slide 17, you had a good breakdown of what's on-prem and online.
Yep.
The piece that maybe is missing, maybe a link, I don't know if it's available, but a link to the service description for 2013. Because that then gives you the detail behind that slide.
You're saying on this slide? Or this one, 17?
You're talking about the breakdown of online and on-prem.
Okay, we'll add that. Okay, so basically if you need a service description link, that's what you're looking for?
For 2013.
Okay, we'll have that. If you're looking for a service description document, if you go to Office 365, we already have the link there.
So that's for 2010? What I'm talking about is for 2013.
Yeah, 2013, the online service description will come in a few months.
Okay.
Okay, we won't have that at the launch next week.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
I've got a question about the extranet.
Right at the back. I think we'll take one question in the front, one at the back. Let me say one more thing, because I think we have a lot of questions here. And if we can't answer all the questions now, we have Ask the Expert session in the evening. That will start at 6 p.m., and I'll be there. So I'll be there for, at least for a couple of hours. So if I can't take your question here, I'll try to answer now, maybe outside the gate, and then we'll have the Ask the Expert sessions in the evening.
Sure.
I see some guys are leaving. All I would like you guys to do is, okay, please fill the evaluation form, because that's important. We want to get your feedback. And if you can do that, that'll be great. And with that, let's take the next question right at the back.
So in an extranet scenario, does everybody have to be an ECAL that accesses the extranet in your enterprise?
Sir, can you speak louder? I can't hear you.
Okay. So in an extranet scenario, you license the server as an enterprise, SharePoint Enterprise license. And everybody internal has to have a CAL. Can that be a standard CAL, or does that need to be an enterprise CAL because it's an extranet scenario connected to an enterprise server license?
Okay. Just to repeat the question, just to make sure everybody gets it. For an extranet scenario, you're saying that we don't need CALs for external users, but do you need to be on standard CAL or enterprise CAL for internet? We don't have any requirement on that. Even if you're on a standard CAL, you can collaborate with external users. So either standard CAL or external enterprise CAL will be good.
Perfect. Thanks. Yeah,
thanks. Question on the front?
Yeah. On slide 15, you mentioned when we would need to use enterprise search, and you referenced the content search web part. So if we wanted to extend with some custom queries, then we would need to use enterprise search. Is that true?
Yes. Okay.
And then also related to, we're looking at deploying 2013 to an internet site, which would require SharePoint server license. And then you mentioned something about an enterprise key, so we would be able to access the enterprise features to do our development for our internet site. So I was wondering if you could tie those two together.
Okay. I'm not hearing clearly, so I have to second-guess your question. But I think I got it, and let me repeat the question for everyone. If you think about the content by search, the CBS web part that we have, basically what it does is it can help you to, you can show content on a site using that web part, and you can use search to really power that. That is something which we license for internet. It will be licensed only from enterprise CAL. That's what you saw there. And yes, you need enterprise CAL for that. Whereas for internet site, all you need is just SharePoint server. You'll get all the features, including CBS web part, as well as enterprise search capabilities.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Question on the back.
Hello. My first one was, I don't know if you answered it, but about query rules. And you also said that best bets is something you get. But I thought that is a custom query.
Okay, sir. Can I tell everybody to come here? I can't really hear. There's something not good with the mic. Can you please come close to the stage? Yeah. I think all you guys can come to the stage. I'll hear your question, then I can repeat for everyone. I can't really hear, and I don't want to answer wrong things. Hi. Sure. Ma'am, let me answer you in a minute. That is going to be a long conversation. Okay. So, yes, sir. Okay, the question is that we talked about visual best bets, and there's a question around query rules. I think the gentleman is saying that the query rules he thought is really what you need best bets. I think the way you think about that is the same engine. The things that we can do out of box, that'll be in the standard cal. So you don't really need for best bets for out, there's some out of box behavior that you'll get with standard cal. But if you want to extend it, you want to use custom query rules, you'll need enterprise cal for that. Yes, yes. Yeah, for anything custom, you'll need that. Yes. Yes. Yep. Okay. The question is around recommendations. That if, let's say, you're looking for a document, you see some recommendation on the right, which is out of box. Again, that's the thing that will come right in standard cal or in the plan one. But if you want to create custom recommendations, again, it's a custom stuff. You want to extend it out, like especially on the recommendations part, you need enterprise for that. Okay. Yes, sir. Next. Okay, the question is that when you think about basic search, today we had Search Server Express, which was a free download. Is the new basic search based on that Search Server Express, or it's the same fast engine? Okay, in this release, we have only one engine. So it's the same engine that we'll get, irrespective of, you know, because we'll have only one product, be it Foundation or SharePoint Server. So we don't have different engines. It will be the same engine that will power search for us. And we won't have things like Search Server Express. You'll have, if you really want to do something like a free search, you will need SharePoint Foundation, and it will have the same engine.
Okay. So yep. Pretty
similar there. Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Say a scenario when you set up the internet website.
Yep.
What happens?
Okay. The question is that, as I said, for internet site, you basically will get all the enterprise features. But what happens if for internet, you have only standard cal or standard search user rights? What can you do for internet site? The way I'll think about that is like these are two different things. For internet, if you have only standard cal, you can use only standard features of SharePoint. In this case, what I'll do is I'll create a separate form for my internet site. I'll still use an enterprise license key on that. And since it's a public site, anybody can access it, be it your internal user or external user. As long as it's really a public site, you have external content, you can use enterprise license for that. You don't need cals for external site. Yeah. Okay, sir. Hi. Yes, sir.
So I know you're not supposed to talk about pricing, and I respect that, but there's today, in today's world, there is a vast difference between the for internet license, right, per server license.
Yes. Okay, I think it's a question about to doubt our intentions, so let me get ahead of this. Okay, and let me give some color commentary behind this. The question here is that the gentleman here, he finds it hard to believe that Microsoft is lowering the price. That means the internet sites was 50 or 60K SKU, and we are just saying that, you know, we are giving this out, and we'll just, you know, all you need is a SharePoint server. So somewhere you are doing something, you know, drastic somewhere, and I don't know what you are doing. Okay, first thing is, let me be very upfront. In this whole change, if you look at revenue-wise, it will be revenue negative for us. Okay, I mean, I am not sure whether I need to share this, but okay, yes, that's a fact. We are doing this. And the reason why we are doing this is because, okay, I was part of the case with Jared Spataro, like who gave the keynote. We worked on this. The reason we did this because we felt that we are introducing more friction into the whole system. And a lot of the escalations that come from the different parts of the Microsoft, they come to me. And this was one pain point I saw time and over again, that, you know, you need internet site, now you need internet. So please don't doubt our intention. We are not really making money off this whole shift. We are really, it will be revenue negative for the business. But we think that it will be good for us to really expand out SharePoint for internet and external sites. That's the main intention behind this. Now, coming to SharePoint, we'll be obviously changing the prices for all the products. And again, I'm not supposed to give our pricing, but I'll use, again, ballpark numbers. Today, SharePoint roughly costs, you know, maybe, I don't know, $6,000-$7,000, somewhere around there, depending on which plan you're on, you know, which product, which currency and all that. Let's take it's like, you know, $6,500 today. We'll increase the SharePoint server price maybe by $2,000 or $3,000. Okay. But in return of that, we don't want you to buy a $25,000 fast search for SharePoint. That's baked in. For internet site, we don't want you to spend $55,000. But yes, you'll be paying maybe, you know, $3,000 more. But this thing will not impact majority of our customers, and I'll tell you why. Majority of customers, I would say close to maybe 90%, they already have software assurance on their current product. And software assurance, if you look at the change, it will go up maybe by $1,500. In grand scheme of things, if you're spending, you know, buying so much of software, $1,500 is less than what you paid for the conference, for the server. So there's a percentage-wise, you know, the numbers add up. If I'm selling a latte today for $2, I sell it for $3, it's a $1, you'll say, oh, 50% increase. It's the same thing here. Look at it in absolute dollar terms. Today, if you pay, let's say, $6,500, even if I tell you, you know, you have to pay us $10,000, you're paying only $3,500 more, whereas just for one server product for Fizz, you would have paid $55,000, or for Fast Search or SharePoint, you would have paid $25,000. So that's pretty much where the pricing will land. So yes, to repeat it again, Microsoft is doing the right thing. I feel very good about it. It took a lot of time for us to convince our CFO, because they also felt, you know, okay, this is something counterintuitive. But the way we did, and I'll give, the only reason we did this was just, as I said before, the customers who are invested into SharePoint, we felt that our current licensing model creates more complexity and friction. And that's the only thing we wanted to take out of this. And yes, sometimes Microsoft doesn't mind to give up revenue. Or this is one of those cases. Exactly. No, but I think it will be good for us for share gain-wise, but revenue-wise, okay, I mean, at least the way I think, okay, it'll still be revenue neutral. Yes, it will drive user satisfaction. It will drive, you know, more adoption. It will make it easy for IT pros from compliance standpoint. So there are a lot of these, I would say, tangible gains that we'll make. Yes, sir. Okay, if you don't mind, can you stand here for 5 minutes with me? Because I have a couple of fast questions. If you've got fast questions, I'll address them together. Okay, just bear with me. Okay, guys, I have only 3 minutes. Yeah. Yep. Okay, the question is that if today, Fast Search is going to be integrated in 2013. Will it be free for 2010? Okay. Let me think about it. It depends where you are today. Okay. As long as you have Enterprise Cal today, let's say you're Enterprise Cal, and if you're getting on 2013, okay, there's nothing more for you to buy. Fast will be baked into that. So you don't need to buy any additional SKU. So if, let's say, you are, as long as you have the Enterprise Cal, and all you need is a SharePoint server, and you can use Fast Search with that. No, Fast was never free. No, no, no. Okay, so it depends where you are today. No, okay, it's not. There is a difference here. The main thing is that where you are right now. Okay, if you are, let's take two scenarios. Today, do you already have Fast today, Fast Search for SharePoint? Okay, so you already have Fast Search SharePoint. That means you also have Enterprise Cal, which I'm assuming you guys have software assurance. If that's the case, yes, you are getting the benefits for free. You get SharePoint 2013 as SA benefit, and you don't have to buy anything more. So if you had to add an additional fast server and you were not upgrading to 2015, you'd still have to pay that. Okay, that's a different question. The question is that today I have Fast Search SharePoint, and you said the pricing has changed, and I can get, like, I want to expand my current deployment. So do I have to, again, buy that $25,000, $30,000 server, or do I get this thing for free? Okay, what you need to do is, in this case, you should buy SharePoint Server 2013, which will be very cheaper. Then you excise something called a downgrade right, which is a standard downgrade right that Microsoft has. So you buy SharePoint Server 2013, you can downgrade it to Fast Search for SharePoint or Fizz S or Fizz E. So if you are using those products today, you want to expand the deployment, yes, you fit into this and you will benefit from the price changes we are making. Okay. Yes, sir. We'll handle Fast. Fast ESP, okay. Okay, the question is, today, we in an on-premise environment, we have server, and we have standard Cal and Enterprise Cal. Can we mix the two cals? The answer is yes. We don't stop you from doing that. But you have to make sure, you know, that you stay compliant with it.
Right. There's a licensing feature where you this was something new that I'd seen for 13 where you could basically turn on the licensing feature and then you had groups you specified.
Yes, we have made some investments there, but I'll say that, okay, it's not 100% done across the whole.
Well, I'm not sure if it made it to the final release.
No, okay. We have started that because we did get this feedback that helped me to make drive the compliance. We've taken the first steps on that. You'll say, okay, there'll be some features around licensing compliance. But yes, for all practical purposes, we don't stop you from mixing those two environments. You can have it. But you might really want to think that at least the foolproof way right now is to have two separate farms.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's I would still stay with that. I would still stay with that. Yeah. Yes, sir. The question is that, can you confirm that there is no longer an enterprise server SKU? We'll have only one SharePoint server, but we'll have two different license keys for that. So there is no separate SKU. There's only one SKU. Now, depending on what type of CAL you own, you should use that key in your farm. And for internet site, yes, go and use enterprise key.
So the second question is, with the removal of the search server,
okay, the question is that with your change in search server and what is your Google Compete plan? I'm sorry, I have to duck that question. But broadly, I would say that, yes, we did think about it. But I think with our the whole SharePoint changes we are making to the plan, I think share-wise we should be good. And we feel good about that. Yes. Yeah, thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, just hold on. And I'll just take maybe two questions and then.
If you are offering external users, you're offering sort of a unified service and you're charging the customer, does that change the implications of whether?
For online or on-premise?
Either.
And then say that question again.
So let's say I've got a service for my customers, right? SharePoint's not the service, but what they're getting within SharePoint is the service they're paying for.
Okay.
Do they need to have a license in that scenario, or they can still just be considered?
Okay, is it like are you talking about like an ISV or ISV, software as a service solution?
Basically, but it's a broader service offering. There's professional services, there's things baked into it. And SharePoint's underneath it is the backbone.
Okay, let me answer this. The question is that if you're trying to build any services around SharePoint for external users, okay, like how is it going to work?
Right.
And maybe you have more services built around SharePoint,
right.
You know, professional services and things like that.
Yeah.
It depends, it really depends how you're approaching this. If let's say you are going to sell, maybe you have a custom solution and some services, you're going to sell it to a customer, and the customer is going to use it for themselves. They can buy the SharePoint server either through a reseller, or let's say if you are a reseller, they can buy through you, and still the external users will be free. On the other hand, if you're trying to create, let's say, a software as a service, and you're using SharePoint at the back, which is transparent from the end user, all you're trying to sell is a subscription. Let's say tomorrow you create that expense management application. You want to sell that to an external user. I would think of that thing. There are two options to do that. Either think of that as something like, you have to go through a program called SPLA, Service Provider Licensing Agreement we have. Then you should be looking at SPLA. What I talked about here is something that applies to direct customers. And if you really are trying to create a software as a service, which is you're just using SharePoint as an engine to power a service that you build, you decide the subscription, you can package and all that, then in that case, you should be going with SPLA. And what are the changes to SPLA? I think broadly, SPLA stays the same. Yeah. We are not really making, I can't think of any major change we're making there.
Are there any sessions here this week on SPLA?
I don't know, sir. We have to look up, on that. Yeah, I don't know. Yes, sir. No, it's a standard. Yes.
What about for 2010? Do they still support 2010 workflows?
Okay, the question is that about workflows, that for 2013 workflow, which CAL do you need? So you need only standard CAL for that. And what happens to 2010 workflow? Yeah, we'll still support the old workflow that we have. But it really depends. I would say if you're really doing a lot of good things around workflow, then I will look at SharePoint 2013 because you can do a lot more things with SharePoint 2013. Can you use 2010 with foundation licenses? What do you mean?
Workflow 2010.
Okay, workflow 2010 will be in foundation. Yes. 2013 will not be in foundation. Yep. Yes, sir.